solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such, without fear, favor, or affection of or towards any person. So help me God.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who for almost 100 years have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Why, I remember the McKee case, breaking and entering. There was a terrific hole, wasn't there, Sergeant?
Well, that's the way it started, but it certainly branched out from there.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, that was a case where one of them was released on bail and as a result really convicted himself. Well, maybe I better tell you about it.
Yeah, I wish you would.
Well, it was a couple of years ago. Ferguson was with me. We were driving along Highway 9 on night patrol out of headquarters in Manitoba. And the way it started... Quiet this time of night.
It's always a quiet stretch of road. Trucks have been taking the new route.
No moon.
Well, not yet. Should be out sometime, though. It's a full moon about now, isn't it?
I wouldn't know. What do you think of the new O.C.?
Well, seems a good man. I haven't seen him in action yet, but I guess he's a good copper. Golden rule man, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Say,
where?
Better pull over a bit, Ferguson. Somebody's coming along behind us at a real good clip.
Hey, you're right. He is. Hey, that guy's doing 80.
At least.
Come on, let's go. You better have the siren, Barclay.
Yep.
Do you like that? He wants a race.
He sure does. Step on it, Ferguson.
I don't think we're going to catch him. He's already out of sight. You better put in a call to Constable Peters. He should be parked by the phone up at the intersection.
Car 22, Constables Ferguson and Barclay calling Constable Peters. Ferguson and Barclay on Highway 9 calling Constable Peters.
Peters here.
Where are you? Intersection number 27?
Yeah, Constable.
Black sedan proceeding south on number 9, approximately 80 miles an hour. He should pass you in 6 or 7 minutes if he doesn't turn up. We've been pursuing him, but we've lost him.
Right. I'll get my bike turned around.
Stop him and hold him till we get there. Don't lose him.
There they are. Peters has them just off the highway.
Where?
That lane over there, behind the big tree.
Oh, yeah. Looks as though they tried to turn off.
Well, I guess they gave him quite a chase.
Well, my guess is there's something more than speed demons pulling a stunt like that. Better give them a good search.
Yeah.
right, you can explain it to these men here.
Good work, Peters.
I hit 100 before I caught up with them.
All right, men, what are your names?
I'm McKee, Charles McKee.
And you?
Eric Campbell.
McKee, Eric Campbell. And which one of you owns this car?
I do.
Let's have your license.
Sure thing, officer. I have it right here. And here you are.
Okay, now what was the rush?
Sorry if we were breaking any rules, officer.
Look, the speed limit on this highway is 50, and you were doing between 80 and 100. I guess you know that.
Why, no. We must have picked up speed gradually without realizing it.
I see. And you raced away from a police siren without realizing that, too.
Well, Eric here, he thought he heard something that could have been a siren, but I didn't hear it myself.
All right, that's enough of that. Unless you're deaf, you heard the siren. You don't act very deaf. Constable Ferguson.
Yes, Constable?
Check the license number, will you? It says here 36674D.
Right. 36674D, you said.
Yeah. Peters, you better get out and patrol the highway. We'll be a little while. Going to search the car.
Sure, Constable. Good night.
Night.
The license on the back of the car is number 6771D.
Yeah, not much relation to this number. Well, how do you men explain that?
Well, it's quite a long story, officer. You see, this license was issued for another car. A car my brother owned.
Yeah, go on.
Well, my brother took care of getting this car for me, and he made all the arrangements about the license.
Yeah, just a minute. Constable Ferguson, you better start searching the car.
Right.
Yes, you were saying, McKee?
Well, I'm not sure how it happened. I remember, I noticed the license number wasn't the same as on the plate, and I asked my brother about it.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
Well, now, you know, officer, it's just slipped my mind what he said.
Well, maybe we can find out from your brother.
Hey, here's something.
What?
It's a bottle, partly full of whiskey.
I suppose you men know it's against the law to carry an open bottle of whiskey in a car. All right, climb in. No, the police car.
You're taking us in?
Yes, on a charge under the Provincial Liquor Act.
Oh, but we can explain the liquor.
I'm sure you can. You'll have every chance to explain it at headquarters. Ferguson, you better get in the back and see they behave.
Okay.
We'll have their car brought in later. I wasn't satisfied with their explanations, Inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they tried to evade us in the first place.
Yes, yes. You did the right thing, bringing them in for further investigation. Where are they now?
Down the hall in 303. Constable Ferguson and Sergeant McNutt are questioning them. I have a check on their fingerprints.
Good idea. You know, there may be a connection. Just before you came in, we received a report of a sizable theft which occurred this evening.
Is that so? Where, Inspector?
At Livingston.
Livingston, eh?
The garage was held up, the safe broken open, and approximately $3,000 in cash was taken.
Let's see, Livingston. What time was the robbery?
About 10.
Well, it could tie in, couldn't it? We were traveling south on Highway 9 at about 10:45 when these men passed us. Livingston is, what, about 40 miles north and directly off number 9?
Yeah, I see what you mean. These two men pulled that job. They could be in that vicinity at the time you speak of.
Yeah, and a little time to spare. In other words, they could have hidden the money somewhere.
Has the car been thoroughly searched?
Not yet. It's being brought in now. Constables Jeffries and Blaker went out to get it. They should be back any minute.
This robbery has every appearance of being a thoroughly professional job. You may find something on these men, if they are our men, in the fingerprint or photo file.
Yeah, I'd better get to work on it immediately.
Yeah, do that. And see that a detailed search is made of the car. Then report back to me.
No, not a thing, Barkley. No sign of him in any of the files.
And nothing in the car. I'm just being through it with a fine-tooth comb. And yet, I don't know. It may be just a coincidence. But the timing of that robbery in Livingston seems to indicate that they're...
Oh, here you are. The inspector thought I might find you here.
Was anything further happen, Peters?
Yes. I don't know if it's of any interest to you, but another report came in from Livingston a few minutes ago.
What report?
Another robbery was pulled, apparently a few minutes after the first one.
Where?
Store. Clothing store, just up the street. Fellow came running down to the garage, and when he heard what happened, it happened into his own store. And there was his safe standing open, and empty as all get-out.
Looks like the same man pulled them both.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks that way, all right. Ferguson, we better think of something fast. We can only hold these men overnight. And if they're responsible, we've got, well, just 8 hours to get the evidence.
Sounds like a plausible idea, Barkley. Which dog do you want to take?
Duke, I think, Inspector. He works well for me. He's an excellent tracer.
And you plan to give him the scent from the shoes of McKee and Campbell?
Yes, sir. Then I'll take him out to Livingston, to the garage, see if he connects them.
Well, it's a quick way of finding out if there's any connection. You certainly have nothing to lose. So go ahead and good luck.
Thanks.
Quite a few citizens around for 2 a.m.
Yes, I guess a town this size doesn't often have one robbery, let alone two. Say, you'd swear that dog knows every word you say. Listen to him react to the phrase, two robberies.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Barkley. I don't think he's following your conversation at all. He's growling at a cat we just passed.
Now listen here, Duke. This is no time to indulge in personal feuds.
Oh, that looks like the garage up there, judging by the spectators.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I was hoping we wouldn't have an audience. Duke works better without a cheering section.
Hey, look at them all there. I wonder what they're hanging around for.
Pull up here, this side of the garage.
I guess they heard the Mounties are planning an investigation.
Well, here we are, Duke. Out you get.
Tell you what I'll do, Barkley. I'll go on over and talk to the bystanders. I'll question the garage owner. Keep him interested. You can lead Duke around inside. Perhaps he'll pick up the trail.
Good idea.
Look, if he appears to pick up the scent, how be it if you give me the high sign, I'll join you.
Right. Try and keep them from following us, will you? Here we go, Duke.
He certainly looks anxious to get to work.
Look at that, Ferguson. He's definitely on a trail of something.
Well, he sure seems to think he is.
That's it, Duke boy. Inspect the doorway if you want. Take your time.
Well, it's three doorways he stopped in.
Yeah. The men may have been considering which store to rob. On the other hand, they might have stepped into the doorways to assure themselves that they weren't being watched. The way Duke is pulling, I don't think he's play-acting. He's onto something. I'm sure of it.
How did McKee and Campbell react when you took Duke into them to give him a scent?
They didn't know. I had them take their shoes off and took them into another room. The less they know about how we're operating, but... Hey.
Hey, what is it?
Hey, Duke. Take it easy. What? Nearly pulled me off my feet.
Hey, is this the place, Duke? What about it?
Ferguson, look. This is Beck's clothing store. The other place that was robbed tonight.
And that dog knows it.
Once inside. Good work, Duke, old boy.
Hey, well, it definitely was the same man who pulled both jobs.
Yeah, and this fellow has their scent, and no mistake. Now, let's see. They obviously broke in the front door, but they didn't leave by this door, or the dog would be following the trail on from here.
Well, they probably left from the back.
Yeah, or a side window. Come on, boy. Round this way. We'll find the trail for you again.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
Looks as if he's taking us right out of town.
That's odd, though. You wouldn't have expected the men would go on such a hike after pulling two robberies. You'd think they'd want to pull out right away.
Yeah, but you don't park a strange car in a town like this without it being noticed. Say, can't you slow down a bit, Duke?
No, not him. He's really on that chase.
Look, Ferguson, I think you better go back and get the car.
All right.
I hope he stays on the main street long enough for you to catch up with us.
Well, what if he turns off?
Well, then I'll try and hold him.
Okay, look, I'll get the car, catch up with you as soon as I can.
Right.
Well, you just made it in time, Ferguson. He wants to turn down this lane. How does it look? Can you follow us in the car?
Oh, it's pretty muddy.
Well, look, come along beside us until it starts to feel sticky. If he cuts across a field, you better leave the car and follow us. I'll have to hang on to him. I might need you to do some investigating.
All right. I'll do my best. You better let him continue now, Barkley. He's getting mad.
Ferguson, over here.
Okay, I'm coming.
There's been a car parked here. That's what Duke was excited about.
It was the getaway car, is it?
Yeah. You see the tire tracks?
Well, this is the end of the trail.
For the moment it is. But now we want to check these tracks with the tires on the car that we picked up tonight and make a thorough ground search of this surrounding area.
Okay, I'll put a call in then. Good word, Duke. Good boy.
Good boy.
You've had a busy night.
Yes, we certainly have, Inspector.
Now then, what have you to report?
Well, the tire tracks outside Livingston match the car owned by McKee and Cameron, just to start with.
I see.
And during the search out there, we came across these articles. A pair of pliers, a scarf, empty cigarette package, recently discarded. I'm taking them along to the lab now for fingerprint tests.
McKee and Cameron have been fingerprinted?
Yes, Inspector, so if they match...
If they match, we can definitely charge them in the morning with robbery.
Charles Henry McKee and Eric Maynard Campbell, you're both charged with unlawfully entering the premises of Harry Blakely and Thomas Beck in Livingston, Alberta. And on that occasion, breaking open two safes and robbing them of the amount of $3,650. You are hereby committed to trial 3 weeks from this date. Bail is set at $5,000.
Busy for a few minutes, Sergeant?
No. Did you want to see me, Barkley? Come in. What's on your mind?
This Cameron McKee case.
Oh, yes. You did the preliminary work on that, didn't you? How are you coming along with your search for the money? Any luck?
None at all, Sergeant. We've reached a complete dead end. But I just heard that someone has put up bail for McKee.
Yes. He was released this morning.
I don't like the look of that, you know, Sergeant. These men are obviously experienced criminals.
Well, yes, you're right. That's why the bail was set so high.
You know who put up the bail?
No, but I can find out in just a minute. Hello, Blake? Sergeant Johnson here. Can you tell me who put up the bail for Charles McKee? Yes, the robbery case. Yes, I'll hold on. If they're experienced, as you say, Blakely, McKee will know better than to jump bail.
No, I'm not worried about that. We'd get him soon enough if he tried it. What I've been thinking is that these fellows never have 5,000 sitting around loose. It looks to me as though the bail money is probably the money that was stolen from Livingston.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then whoever came forward with the bail knew where to look for the money.
Yes. Yes, Blake? It was, eh? I see. Right, thanks. You may have something there after all, Barkley. They tell me it was McKee's brother who put up bail.
His brother? Why, I've been looking for him ever since the night I picked McKee and Cameron up. And McKee gave me that suspicious-sounding story about the discrepancy in the license numbers. Said the car originally belonged to his brother. I've been wanting to question him.
And what's been the difficulty?
Well, I couldn't locate him. I've checked every McKee in town. Now he apparently has been into the courthouse, planked down the $5,000, and gone.
Well, I should have an address for him over there. My guess is he's been using an assumed name. That's why you couldn't find him. But Acting as bondsman, he was forced to reveal his identity.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he'll have given an address. I think I'll get over there and look into this, Sergeant.
I'll come over with you. Now, your theory makes sense. We may want to keep an eye on this fellow.
Oh, hello, officers.
I'm Sergeant Johnson of the RCMP. This is Constable Barkley.
Well, what can I do for you?
You're the clerk who accepted the bail this morning for McKee?
Yes, Sergeant. Is there something wrong?
Well, there might be. We've been trying to dig up some information about the man who went bail, McKee's brother. We found he has several aliases and a false address.
Oh.
Now, we have a couple of leads, places where he's known to hang out, but we can't identify him.
I think I understand you, sir. You want a description?
More than that. We've arranged with the chief for you to have the next few days off, however long it takes. We want you to come along with us and watch for this man, to point him out when you see him.
Well, I'd be sure to recognize him, Sergeant. Sure, I'd be glad to come along with you.
Good. Your substitute will be along in about half an hour. Would you come straight down to headquarters? Come to my office.
Well, I will. Hey, what's up with this fellow, Sergeant?
Well, that we don't know. But the more we hear about him, the more he appears to be implicated in the two robberies. If he's planning anything else, we'd like to jump the gun on him. Come along, Barkley.
Come in. Oh, Ferguson.
Are you busy, Inspector?
Not if you found anything further on McKee.
Well, I sure have, sir. I found him through the maze of aliases. He's had three convictions for armed robbery, all in other provinces. And apparently, he just took up residence here recently.
There's no record here.
No, sir, but here's an interesting thing. Down east, one of his convictions was for robbing a furrier's.
Oh.
And for 3 months previous to that, he'd been employed by that same furrier.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Getting the job well lined up, eh?
Well, it looks that way. Incidentally, Constable Barkley and Sergeant Johnson are on his tail right now. The county clerk identified him for them this afternoon. They followed him and got his address.
Good. I hadn't received a report from
them. They're going to stick right with him, sir. He's going to watch the place all night and record his activities. The sergeant just called in and asked me to tell you.
You sure that's the streetcar he's on, Sergeant?
Well, you saw him get on.
Yeah, but there was quite a crowd at that last stop. I wonder if he perhaps got off and gave us the slip.
No, I don't think so.
Be a shame to lose him after watching his place all night. Oh, but man, I'm sleepy.
Yeah, a cup of coffee would be mighty nice right now. But let's stay awake a little while longer, Barkley. I'm curious where a man like McKee would be going at 8:30 in the morning with the working crowd.
Well, maybe he's got a job.
Some job, but he can come up with $5,000 overnight. Streetcar stopping. Keep a sharp lookout.
Yeah.
There. There. That's McKee getting off, isn't it?
It sure is, and thank goodness. I had a nasty feeling we might have missed him at that last stop.
Yeah, he's going down that side street.
Yeah, I think we'd be safe to pull around and tail him, Sergeant. There's lots of traffic, and he doesn't seem to be on guard.
Well, he isn't going far. What's that store he's entering?
Well, if you want to drive past it, I'll be able to read the Marchand's Furriers.
Say, you don't suppose he's going to pull a hold up?
No, the doorman greeted him, opened the door for him, as if he knew him. It looks to me as though McKee is working there.
Marchand's Furriers.
Yes, Inspector. Barkley and I had a cup of coffee and then dropped into the shop. The doorman was very chatty. We had no difficulty in establishing that McKee is working there.
Well, well, well.
It looks as though he may have decided to go straight.
Well, I've got news for you, Sergeant. Your efforts have nipped the next McKee robbery in the bud.
Why, I don't follow you, Inspector.
No, but you followed McKee. That's the main thing. Blake, send Constable Ferguson in here with that report on McKee. Yes. Yes, McKee's brother. Thanks. When you see McKee's record, Sergeant, you'll see what I mean. These boys have Martians all lined up for their next big job.
You mean They're planning to rob the place?
That's their plan, you can be sure. And that's why the brother had to screen Charles. They've probably been planning this for months. They've had a lot of success in the past, but this time they won't get away with it.
And the inspector was right. That was the end of the McKee boys.
Hmm. How'd they nab them, Sergeant?
Well, by keeping a close watch on the brother, and by careful investigation, Johnson was able to establish the exact time of the planned robbery. So when the boys turned up one night to pull the job, they walked right into our arms.
They must have been somewhat surprised.
Yeah, they certainly were. That was a bit of a gun battle. Nobody was hurt, but they shot themselves right into the big league. No more evidence was needed to have them put away for a good long rest.
And all because they broke the speed limit one night when they thought no one was looking.
That's right. This was a case of the RCMP missing the man at first and finally nabbing their men.
The Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.